Hello, everyone, and welcome, finally, to episode number 28 of the Pika Serenity podcast. I am your host, Emelson, and, it's been a long time, so I guess let's start off. We've got some changes to the structure of this podcast. Previously, we had been using a rotating cast of members, usually including me. We are changing that to have a more consistent roster so that we can get podcast episodes out in a more frequent and timely manner. And my lovely co-host for the foreseeable future is Anomaly.
Hey, everybody. How are you, Emelson, today? How are you doing today, bud?
Doing okay. It's been a nice, lazy Saturday. So the way we're planning to do things is that we're going to be recording episodes basically every week, and they should be up on Monday afternoons. Fingers crossed. I rate on Sundays, otherwise they'd be up on Sundays. But since it has been a long time, why don't we take a sec and, you know, reintroduce ourselves? And I'll let you start, Anom.
Awesome. Yeah. So my name is Anomaly, or Anom, I go by. I am, of course, one of the Mistweaver admin on Peak. And I've been kind of playing and raiding in World of Warcraft since vanilla. So 15, 16 years at this point. I kind of really got into, so it's kind of my raiding history. I guess we want to do a little bit into like our Monk backgrounds. I actually started playing Monk in MOP when they released. I did the whole recruit a friend to a second account so I could quickly level to 60 or whatever the pre-cap was, and then get right into the new content on my Monk. And that was hell to do, I will say, to get that all set up. Had to level something like 4 or 5 different characters to make sure I had enough free levels to give out. I've been playing Monk since then. Been healing as a Mistweaver basically since then. Took a couple more like tier breaks to do other roles. Like in Nyalotha, I ended up tanking Nyalotha. Played Paladin for Throne of Thunder, a tank there also. So that's basically sort of my history here. I also kind of picked up and got really involved in Peak around the early start of Legion when WoW Analyzer started to get big and started to expand beyond just Zero's work with Paladins, and then sort of kind of parlayed that into being somewhat important that people kind of listen to for some reason after that. So that's basically my background. I don't know, Emelson, what about you?
So it's really funny to me how different my background is, and yet at the same time how similar it is. So I've been playing since Burning Crusade, basically, but I never actually raided outside of like some trash pugs until Emerald Nightmare. So I was playing a hunter at the time. That was like my main since Cataclysm, as much as one can have a main when you're just basically just like casual questing and whatnot. And like Emerald Nightmare was my first raid. I didn't actually level a monk ever until Nighthold, when I switched to Brewmaster to tank for my heroic guild. And it's all downhill from there. I started mythic raiding in Tomb of Sargeras, CE in Antorus, and I've been doing CE raiding ever since. Right now, I am one of the main tanks for Occasional Excellence's weekend team. Through the same kind of like WoW Analyzer shenanigans that Anom has done, I also got involved in Pika Serenity by taking over the Brewmaster section of it and then parlaying that into, I don't know, people listen to me on Peak now. You can't see me shrugging, but that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like you make a cool looking website or put some code together and people somehow believe you.
Yeah. Although, like, in fairness to me, I guess, I do a lot of the Theorycraft stuff for Brewmaster now as well. Although I think that's going to be a little bit less on my shoulders this expansion, meaning Shadowlands, than it was for BFA, because I volunteered to do all the Azerite stuff for BFA, and lo and behold, there was nothing else to do. So I just did not everything, but a lot.
Nice. Also, I think those are good intros. I think I also, so I know I'm like, I'm reading our show notes, kind of looking at this. I did say that we probably should do one interesting fact about each of us. I don't know if you have your interesting fact ready, but I have mine.
Go for it.
All right. So my one interesting fact is that I'm actually deathly afraid of heights, but I have been skydiving multiple times.
I had the opportunity to go skydiving once. I didn't take it.
It's honestly one of the most fun things I've ever done. But again, like, you will not catch me like looking out of a second story window because I break down. I break down. It's awful.
That's incredible. I don't think you know what? I'll do an interesting fact next episode because I totally forgot about that piece.
No worries. All right, so I think maybe I'll go in. I know you gave a quick little overview of the new format, but you want me to kind of jump right in just a little bit more detail?
Yeah, sure.
Cool. So, I mean, I think like Emerson kind of gave that intro that we're going to change the format slightly here. But I think the goal here is, I think, to always be more consistent, always have a topic, always have something to talk about, whether or not really anything is going on in the game. So I think a couple of things we're doing, you know, number one, trying to be more consistent. So that starts with having like two folks to sit down at least once a week to talk through some fun stuff in WoW. So that's kind of what we started with. But then the goal is really to hopefully bring in a third voice every week as much as possible to kind of provide some sort of different perspective or different insight in any of the topics that we might have coming up. The other thing we are going to be doing is to kind of dedicate some time in each episode to sort of like a Q&A section. That way, you know, folks listen. If you guys do have questions, if you have topics, you know, you think might be interesting or questions you think might be interesting, you know, we'll get around to sort of kind of including those also into the show. And then only other thing I think is we're going to work on trying to shorten some of the episodes. I know some of our older episodes were, we could say, marathons in any sense of the word. But I think if we can shorten some of the episodes, it gives us a chance not to sort of drain all the content, you know, in a night when, you know, technically we could give some of those sort of areas a little bit more of a deep dive, their own sort of, you know, platform to kind of talk through them and things like that. So I think those are some of like the main points we're going to end up doing, just to sort of keep this more consistent, give us always something to talk about, and kind of get, you know, some other folks involved that we might not hear from all the time, and get, you know, as listeners, you guys involved too, sort of a little back and forth and things like that. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I really like, I in some ways liked the format that we had where it was just like who knows who it would be on every single episode. That was kind of cool. But there were definitely issues trying to schedule those. I know I would periodically try and like, hey, I have this idea for an episode, who wants to join? And we would get like one or two people interested, but their schedules wouldn't work or this or that or the other. And it just kind of never happened. So having two people that, you know, we are committing this time to sitting down and recording an episode every week should help us actually keep on schedule.
Most definitely agreed.
But yeah, so for today's topic, we're gonna spend some time doing a high level Shadowlands overview. We are in beta now, so we're gonna give some initial impressions from beta. Unfortunately, not both of us have it. I do not have beta. Oh my god, it sucks. So we weren't initially planning to do this. It was just going to be me and Anom, but then I didn't get beta in the CE wave. So we brought in our good friend Abelito75 to help us out, because I can't say as much about beta. So hi Abe, why don't you introduce yourself?
Howdy howdy guys. I'm just going to kind of follow the style that y'all did and, you know, hit those few points for the introduction. But I'm Abelito75. I'm a mod in Mistweaver I'm a mod in Peak for Mistweaver, recently ascended beyond the veteran status. My raiding background is here. It bounces around a lot since I started in Legion. Midway through Trial of Valor, so I wasn't really raiding yet. I was just trying to get my bearings on what is this game? What happens? In Nighthold, I joined a heroic guild, and I stuck with them through a TOS, and then moved up to a mythic guild who almost got CE, but gave up at 1% on Agrimmar many months before pre-patch, and then took a small break from the game in Old Deer, and then in BOD I got Cutting Edge with my guild that then fell apart, and it's basically been a bumpy ride ever since. But I played Mistweaver from the start of that, really haven't looked back ever. One tier I had to take a break because a guild told me, hey, could you play this instead, and I said okay. Turns out that I'm a better Mistweaver than anything else, and it was a little bit regretful, but some of the reasons that I'm around in Peak are because I might have tried to steal the WoW Analyzer from Anom for Mistweaver. I don't think it's fully worked, but you know.
Slowly but surely.
Slowly but surely, you know. You gotta come from the bottom and move up. But I don't know if this is an interesting fact, but everyone in the programming sphere is always shocked when I say this, but I am a big fan and lover of Java.
He's a fucking heathen.
It is great. These people don't know what they're talking about. Like, there's so many native libraries, and I don't have to have 6 gigs of node modules to make a basic app.
You do need to have 6 gigs of RAM to run it, though.
Hey, you say that, but you know.
So we're getting way off on the tangent, but I just want to interject here. I work every day right now with 2 JVMs running in the background, and those things eat RAM. It's disgusting.
You see, I've never had that issue of, you know, my apps destroying my RAM. Might just be a you problem.
It might be a me problem, actually, but I can't control all of it, so.
But yeah, that's roughly me.
Yeah. Like I said, we're going to be doing kind of a high-level overview of Shadowlands. I don't think I mentioned this earlier, or Anand mentioned this, but we are also going to be kind of taking a different approach to how we talk about WoW topics here on the podcast. We're going to be a little bit less picky about, like, we have to talk about monk things. Everything has to relate to monks, and take a little bit of a broader view and look at WoW as a whole. And obviously we play monks. So it's going to come from that perspective, but not literally everything is going to relate back to the monk class. So we're going to take kind of a general look at Shadowlands, what we think from the beta, how we think it's going, what we want to see, and some of our thoughts on the class changes to monk in particular, that have come into the game and what we think about them. So let's jump right into it. You two have beta. What do you think? Like, yeah. High level.
So,
what do you
so
think?
Hamilton, I actually would really like, what is your opinion? Like, what do you think about beta?
I would like to have it.
I'm kidding. sorry. No, but I think, so at a high level, I actually, like, not monk specific, but I actually kind of like the direction. I don't really get too much into story stuff around WoW, right? I'm very much the type of person where at the start of every expansion, I say I'm going to read all the quest text on my second character, I'm going to take it slow, it's going to be great. And then I generally speed level everything and have zero idea about the story. So take that with a grain of salt, but I kind of like the Shadowlands sort of idea, you know, going to the land of the dead, seeing all this stuff, the ability to kind of bring back a lot of old, you know, raid bosses or just old characters is really sort of intriguing to me, just because, I mean, I've been playing this game, you know, for 15, 16 years at this point. So there's a lot of stuff from, you know, vanilla and BC that would be cool to come back and see. So I think that's just in general really cool. I think zone wise, you know, they're all pretty varied and different. I think Bastion, kind of for me at least, heads and tails, is probably the best looking zone, or one of the best looking zones out there. And I think, to be fair, like, the WoW art team continues to sort of, like, kill it from just a look and feel, right? Like, I think, I don't know, it just, everything looks great. Yeah, everything looks really good. but yeah, I mean, I think at least just on sort of its face value, you know, They've done a great job across the board in just sort of the way they've constructed it. I think the story, I mean, some people who really get into the lore probably hate it. I think it's kind of cool. I think it gives them a lot of opportunity to maybe bring back some old characters we haven't seen in a while. And, you know, that's kind of exciting on my end. So, but I think, I mean, overall, you know, zone wise looks really cool. The one thing that they have to get right that they're slowly getting better at is a lot of times when you're going from the main city so I pronounce it, whenever you go from the main city and take some of the portals out to, like, you know, Bastion or the Venthyr place or Maldraxxus, right, there is the portal you take and that sort of skyway really makes me sick because there's like a lot of lights and flashing and blue. And it's a little intense. So I know that the past couple of patches, they started to tone it down. But when they first released it, it was really cool the first time. But I could see the 15th, 20th, 100th time you take that little sort of like skyways tunnel through with all the blue and white flashing, like you're going to get sick. Like it's just that's the only part of it that I'm a little worried about. So
I haven't actually seen that effect. Is that like the Stargate kind of effect, if you're familiar with that?
Yes, it is. Yeah, think of the Stargate effect with a little bit of like lightning stuff kind of mixed in.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it's, they've been toning it down, Pat. Like every Wednesday you take it, it's a little bit less exciting, which I think is a good thing, because the first couple revisions of it were visually really cool. So the first time you did it, you're like, awesome, this is great. I was like, I can't wait, like this is a cool first thing. And then like the next time I took it, I was expecting like a quick, like, just cut, you know, blue bar, fade to black, cut over. But no, you took that same like 30 or 45 second like run through. I'm like, I'm gonna hate this in about 6 months.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the things that I see, is that the central hub, like if you're gonna do Mythic Plus for a day, you know, you do one dungeon, you get a key on the opposite side. Now you have to fly to Orbos and you get your blue little swirly effect, and then you fly out of Orbos and you get your blue little swirly effect again, and you're spending more time looking at the blue swirlies than you are in the zones. But overall, each zone is like, even if the ones that aren't that pretty or good looking are very thematic, and like I feel like I'm there, and that is, you know, an accurate depiction of what this area should be.
Yeah.
How do you think like the zone designs compared to BFA zones?
So I haven't done a lot of running in Ardent Vale, I think that's how you say it. But overall, the zones felt to me a lot better than the BFA zones. There are areas of hills, and I don't know. I'm a big hater of hills in the game, because most of the time I spend 30 minutes trying to figure out how to get up it because I didn't want to go to the road, and then I end up having to go to the road. But like overall, I believe that they're pretty good especially compared to the BFA zones, which I didn't have too many qualms about, but there were some things that got to me. Go ahead.
So I was going to say, there, just for Emelson, there's no pyramid.
Yeah.
If you're worried about that, there's no Zandalari pyramid or whatever. Zoldazar pyramid.
So you're saying Orbos is not 3 miles long?
No. Orbos, actually, I was talking about this with someone. It has great Dalaran-esque vibes from Legion, where you could log on, not know what you're doing, and then fly circles around Dalaran for the next 30 minutes while you're figuring it out. And you can do the same in Orbos because, you know, it's a circle. But, you know, without flying this time. And it sounds terrible, but it's a lot better than it seems, because Orbos is like center column is like beautiful, and you can go in the inner ring and the outer ring, go to different levels.
Yeah, it's a good central city for sure.
So what I'm hearing is the most important aspect, like architecturally, for any like central city going forward, is there needs to be a loop in it, like Dalaran.
100%.
Loops around Dalaran.
100%. Because I know my loops around Dazalore are just terrible. I hit the backside and it's just so boring. And I look down, I'm like, there's nothing to try to perfect on these loops. It's just loops. Which I know sounds really strange, but it's the thing I do between Mythic Plus and whatnot.
Yeah, it's definitely not like on BFA, there wasn't like a central or like a continuous, like you could just run around, that's for sure. I will say that the one zone that is, I've leveled partway through it, and I'm probably going to say it's probably going to be one of the more unfun zones I have, is Maldraxxus. And the reason is not, I think, you know, thematically and sort of art design wise, it's not an issue, but layout wise, it's built sort of like with a central area and like a spokes everywhere. But those spokes don't connect. So there's a lot of like going to the end of the spoke, doing the quest in like the deep corner, and then turning and coming back at the spoke, and then going to the next one. So there's a couple of shortcuts between it, but a lot of it is sort of that like out and back and out and back. And I mean, leveling wise, it's probably going to be the only time you end up being somewhat annoyed. You know, maybe if we end up needing to farm stuff and things like that there, I can see that maybe becoming an issue. But other than that, I mean, zone wise, there hasn't been, you know, too much of like the layout, or at least the architecture of it that I disliked. You know, art wise, I mean, they've all looked good. I think we've said a couple times now.
Oh, I will say there's actually one zone that annoys me, and there's one part of Bastion where there's a floating city and there's a few launch pads to get up on top of it. And the first time it took me at least 30 minutes to find one launch pad, because they were not at the highest points around the city. They were at some lower level with like a little building that's not big enough to see, just like a little, like they laid some concrete and put a platform on it. They didn't put pillars or anything. So I had to run around for way too long for that.
I feel like we're noticing a theme of you just like not paying attention.
I mean, you're not wrong here.
Yeah, I mean, I think they do some cool stuff though. It sounds like, I think Bastion looks cool, because I think a lot of that stuff in the distance at first, you're like, oh, that's a nice floating thing I'll never go to. But yeah, you're right. There's like that floating part of like, that's in the north, right? The north.
Yeah, it's like north middle.
Yeah. We actually have to go up there. Yeah, I think, you know, the Shadowlands sort of idea or theme gives them a lot of leeway to do some cool stuff. So we'll see.
How about the dungeons? Have either of you gotten the chance to do any of those yet? Abe, I know you have. You were in alpha, right?
Yeah, I was in alpha. I've done all the dungeons. I've done, I think, 3 out of 4 of the ones they let us do in Mythic Plus right now. And overall, the majority of the all of the dungeons I liked going through on, you know, non-Mythic Plus mode. They were a lot of fun. There's a few downfalls I can see, depending on like respawn locations, because it's like, oh, you have to talk to these people to fly to the next platform, and you do that, you know, on 4 different platforms, and you have like 2 trash packs on each platform, and then you have a boss which would, you know, reset your spawn point. Well, if you wipe on that boss, you have now like a, you know, like a 5-minute run back, because you have to talk to all these people to fly you over one platform at a time.
Ew.
Yeah, I can see. I think I'd like to see how some of them do play out. I've done Necrotic Wake and the Mists of Tirna. How do you say that?
Tirna Nassad?
Yeah, I can't. I'm terrible. I like Mists a lot. I think the maze, I think it's to the second boss, is really cool.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I wonder how that ends up working. So for folks who don't know, there's a the way it works is you enter like a mist maze, and you'll enter a kind of a small area, and there'll be, you know, between 2 and 3 exits. And right as you enter, there'll be a pillar that has a like icon above it. And basically what you do is you look at that icon and you try and match that icon with one of the other 3 icons that are on the other 3 exits, essentially. And if you guess right, great, it opens up to the next area. You'll have to do that, I think, like 3 or 4 times. And then the boss is a similar thing, where you'll look for what icon, like the boss will split into 4 separate mobs, and yeah, you'll look for the one that is different than the different icon. So each mirror or each image will have a different icon over its head. At that point, you look for the one that looks different, and the icons are reused from the mist maze. I think that's really cool. What I hope for is that in Mythic Plus, and maybe I'm a, you know, sadist in this, right? But I hope in Mythic Plus, it's not like a standard route, right? That they sort of keep the randomness of the maze from like the heroic version or whatever, the normal version I did.
I mean, yeah, as long as it's not something where, you know, one person doing it wrong can cost you like 10 minutes, that's fine with me, honestly. It's things like in Temple of Setherless, where like one person failing the gauntlet with the lightning, just like, you're stuck, you're waiting on them, unless they can die and you can res them on the other side. But if you're, you know, you're in a pug, your options for resing them are waste to be res or, you know, wait for the healer to successfully navigate the gauntlet. That sucked. It was a huge pain. I hated doing it.
I don't think it's that bad, but I will say that there is some confusion sometimes on which one it can be, because you're trying to find the one that's the most different than the others. And there's three different iterations of it. There's two icons. So, you know, you have icon A and icon B. Both of them can be either just line art or fully shaded. And then you can also have a ring around them. And sometimes they'll start with one that's line art, and then they'll be all the other possible combinations. And you're like, well, this one's really different, but this one's also really different. And it's hard to tell which has the priority over the other one. Is the shading more important, or is the shape, or is like the ring around it more important, or lack of there? That's awesome. The only issue that I can see, because I know as a healer, I feel like it's going to become the healer job to do this. You just, you know, you go in, there's one trash pack, you kill the trash pack, and then you got to do the puzzle. But the healer can do the puzzle while you're killing the trash pack.
Ah.
Right. So, I mean, I don't think we end up with like a gauntlet type situation here. I think the one inconsistency could be like the route through the maze. Like some weeks you might get 4 rooms, other weeks you might get 6 rooms. Like, I think that might be the one thing that they need to normalize for Mythic Plus, is that you always have to complete like 4 puzzles to get to the boss. Or I don't know. I feel like there were some runs I did where I only had to do 3 rooms with this maze thing to get to the boss, and other times it was like 5, but I could be just misremembering.
No, I do feel that, because I've ran that once or twice, maybe 3 times on Mythic Plus, and it did feel like that on 1 or 2 runs of it. Like, it just felt there was a different amount. And then it's also like sometimes like the rooms will converge at points. So, you know, you can have like 4 routes or like 10 routes, let's say, and 2 of them converge on this 1 room before, you know, you get to the end boss. And it's weird, since there's no, like, the pillar isn't then like really easy to tell, oh, this is the pillar I need to base it off of. It's not always at the door that you enter in. And I know I've sat around running around in circles one time, like, which pillar do I use it off of? And the whole group just kind of runs around with me.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think in general, outside of that one, at least the ones that I've seen, like, not actually got to play, right? Because I've only got to go do those two, really. I think they've all looked okay. I know that there's been a lot of feedback from like some Mythic Plus folks that some of the dungeons seem a little weird to play with, like the AoE cap. And like, I think they're getting more into sort of like class abilities at that point. But I don't think anybody's really, other than some of the vehicle thing, Abbe, you sort of mentioned, right, around like having to use vehicles, or I think there's like dragons in Necrotic Wake, right, that take you up to a 2nd level.
Yeah.
Like having stuff like that, you know, similar to like, I guess the in BFA would be like the Mechagon, or the workshop, sorry, you know, mech thing that takes you to the final boss, right? Other than that sort of stuff, I think the dungeons seem good, but I mean, it's new dungeons and new PvE for me. So like, I'm just excited that it's not, you know, Waycrest Manor, or I haven't seen a Toldagore-esque dungeon yet, but you know, if they've hidden one, you know, we'll probably find it. But
hopefully there will never be another Toldagore. That place is an abomination.
I will say I have not felt a Toldagore when running through all of these dungeons. Like there are some where I'm sometimes like, oh, this is interesting, but it's never like a, oh no, this feels like we're going to turn into a Toldagore when we get to like a 20 or something.
How are the trash percents? I know on live right now on BFA, most dungeons just like you if you don't have cloaks or your shrouds, then there's not really a route that gets you to the boss with 100% trash. So you just end up going to like 110% or 120%. And that's less true now that we have the current, you know, seasonal effects fixing that, because everybody's got shroud basically. But previously, you know, you were doing 25% over count just to get to the end boss and finish the dungeon.
So I've done like Halls of Atonement is one of them that felt very open. We overcapped on percent just a little, but I do think we could have skipped more, because Halls of Atonement has a lot of open area that you can maneuver around. There are like 3 central mobs you have to kill before, or not, they're not in the center, but you know, there are three main mobs you have to kill before the first boss will spawn. And it felt, you know, you have to go to these, but the trash in between them is up to you in a way. Since like a lot of it is like, you can kind of skip it if you play around correctly and it's not too rogue dependent. And I'm not sure if we mistimed it, but there are two mobs that will like go immune and not aggro if you run over them. And I think if we would have gotten that cycle where we could just run through them and not have to kill one of them, I think two we killed actually, we would have like perfectly been at 100%. And then I know, I forget the other dungeon I did, but it felt fine on percentage. There was never one that I was like, wow, we're going to be like at 170% before we finish this because we don't know our route. We just like beeline from boss to boss to boss to boss and we're fine.
Okay. So nothing like King's Rest where it was literally impossible to get to the last boss with 100% without a rogue.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear at least. So I guess there's a bunch of new systems as well. Blizzard seems to have not quite heeded the concerns that we've had about systems bloat in the past. So there's a lot going on in Shadowlands between legendaries, covenants, their soul binds and their conduits, on top of the other like ability and pruning stuff that we're going to get to a little bit later. How is all that working right now? Because I know it's changed some. So like, let's start with legendaries. How does one get a legendary?
So it's actually pretty straightforward. So there is, so basically that all happens within Torghast, right? So legendaries are essentially crafted, and I believe the way it works is you clear, you know, specific numbers of floors. So after every, what is every 6 or 8 floors in Torghast, there's a mini boss or boss, and after you kill them, there's a chest, and the chest will contain crafting materials to then craft your first, to craft a legendary, right? And then once you gain enough crafting materials from running Torghast, you can then, you know, craft the legendary of your choice and then equip it, right? Is like kind of at a very high level, I believe. Right.
Do you need the appropriate, you know, crafting profession like that? Like are all monks going to be leather workers, or is it like you take a precursor item from a leather worker, use your crafting materials on it, and you get a legendary?
So as it stands right now, it looks like you'll use a pre-made item with two like scrolls, so you can pick which stats are on it, and then the legendary effect. So you know, let's say you want your boot legendary, you buy your boot mat, which is, you know, a boot that's just got armor on it, essentially. You buy two scrolls, which are, you know, stat A and stat B. So like for a Mistweaver, you know, crit and verse. And then you have your legendary crafting material, and you can go to the like a jailer or somebody in the maw, and he has this cool interface where you can put your boot, you can put your two scrolls, and then you can select your effect, and then you can say go, and he uses, you know, your mats.
To then generate or create the item. So you wouldn't necessarily have to be a leather worker as your profession, right?
Yeah. That's really interesting. I guess on a little bit of a tangent, it's an interesting contrast to Guild Wars 2, if anybody has played that. They have legendaries in that game, and the way you get them is you find a precursor item. It's a drop, not a crafted item, which is different. And you basically have to dump a bunch of things in what the players not so affectionately call the toilet to get other items to then combine with your precursor item to get a legendary. And the throwing things in the toilet and seeing what you get out is just a random process. And I'm really glad that, unlike BFA being an RNG madhouse, this is very direct. You know, you pick what you want, you put it in, you get your thing, you know?
Yeah. And you can even pick the secondary stats so you don't get, you know, unlucky and say, well, now I gotta go make it again.
Oh yeah, I know people who spent millions of gold trying to get the right ring stats on their crafted rings this tier.
Yeah. I think Andy Brew spent a lot of time trying to get a heavy verse ring, and in the end he got like 400 verse or something on a ring and called it a day.
That's a lot of verse, though.
That's a lot of verse.
Yeah, so I think legendary wise, it seems really good. I don't know how you actually, the one thing that kind of evades me, and I don't know if I read on this, but how you actually obtain the legendary recipes. I don't know if you just start, I don't know, Abbott, if you know, I don't know if you just start with them. I know in the current UI, you have access to the four different legendaries regardless, but I don't know if there was an unlocking process to like get the, the facepalm legendary for Brewmaster, or the, the eminence one for Mistweaver, right?
I don't know how they're going to be unlocked, but I do think there is going to be some unlock process with how it is on beta. How even like, as you know, on beta, you have to buy an item that lets you learn all the recipes. So probably some way of learning, but not sure.
Yeah, so if I remember correctly, there was some discussion about this in one of the Q&As that I don't know if it was one of Ian's Q&As that he did or one of the other ones, but they did discuss that, and there is going to be an unlock process for it, and they hadn't worked out the details of it yet. But some of the things they threw out were like, you get it off a boss, and like the difficulty didn't matter so much as just like killing the boss, you get your recipe, you go and use it. So they are not going to be the way that it was in Legion, where you do literally everything you possibly can and hope you get the right recipe or hope you get the right legendary. It's going to be a lot more directed. It's, I want this legendary, I'm going to go do this thing to try and get it, and then I can use that and I can craft the legendary, which will hopefully streamline things a lot and reduce some of the feel bads that that came from the Legion system.
Yeah, I think the only other thing on legendaries is they are like the effects are armor specific. So you can't
Yeah.
just put an effect, like if you want an effect, you can't put on any armor piece. There are like some effects that can only be put on like shoulders and neck, and other ones on like helms and legs and things like that. So there's some level of restriction to the powers, like what slots they would take up for you.
Right. So how about covenants? That's the other like big system, and I guess in a lot of ways the bigger system that we're going to be dealing with in Shadowlands.
Yeah, I mean, I will preference everything I say in that I think the underlying issue a lot of people end up having with covenants is going to be that they're going to be unbalanced, or they perceive they'll be unbalanced, right?
Right.
But I think covenants in general is actually a really cool idea. So like the idea of having, essentially like a house or an alignment that you can go to that is not like your class alignment that we like. I really enjoyed order halls in Legion, like. But
Oh
those are
yeah,
very
order
class
halls were
specific.
fantastic.
Yeah, but I mean, you didn't get to pick that. You just kind of were placed there. And I think with this, there's like the ability to like pick something that seems interesting, right? Like you get to learn about all of them through your leveling process. And then when you hit 60, you get to pick, all right, I want to be, a Venthyr monk, or I want to be a Kirin monk, right? Which I think is really cool, right? And then below that, right, you have Soulbinds, which is like an additional level of customization that you can put on your character. And I feel like I'm sounding like Ian right now. Like, hey, it'll be so cool, you customize, it'd be great. But I mean, I think at the end of the day, like I think that's super interesting in like a game like WoW, right? Like where I'm coming around on the idea that like everybody being the exact same probably isn't great for a game, right? Like things are interesting because people do different stuff, right? Like you can even see like a perfect example of this is like the haystacking Mistweavers did at the start of 8.3, right? When Rising Mist got changed and you could stack haste and basically could infinitely expend HOTS. Infinitely extend HOTS. Like I was very much against that going in, because to me it was like that never, like it never felt like it would get you. You never get enough haste, even with the corruptions. You'd never make it to a point where you could do that. But people are like, no, we think we can do it. We think we can do it. And it ended up being really cool and something that like is an interesting thing that came out of that, right? And I think we end up hopefully seeing something like this in Covenants, right? But I think the underlying problem with them is that right now there are certain covenants I know for Mistweaver that are ultimately ridiculously overtuned.
Right,
So.
that's the case for basically everyone right now. I think everyone in Guild has been, talking about, oh, for this class, it looks like this covenant and maybe this one are the ones you use. And sometimes it's different even by spec. So, for the healer spec, you might want to use one, and then the tank spec, might want to use another. And I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, just looking at our notes, you wrote down weapons of order. Please God, no. And I'm over here like as a healer, and I'm like, please, yes, this is what I want. This is 30% of my healing on a bad day.
Yeah, so I guess so every covenant gets their own ability per class and then like a shared one. So the the class one for monks for Kyrian is Weapons of Order. I don't want to spend too much time going through all of these, but basically this is an on GCD button that buffs your resets when your main rotational abilities, gives you a bunch of mastery for the next like 10 or 15 seconds, and then some additional effect on top of it. And the reason I have that on there is because I'm a Brewmaster main, and the Brewmaster one just resets your cooldown on Keg Smash, and then I don't remember the rest of it. It's like completely unimpactful, and the mastery is not like, it's okay. It's not really like, you're never going to use that defensively because it's just random dodge chance. So you can't rely on it, but at the same time, it's not good offensively. So it's just like this on GCD button that you use. So you go Keg Smash, Weapons of Order, Keg Smash, and that's it.
Yeah, where you contrast that with like the Mystery one where it resets the cooldown of Essence Font and then also does a burst of healing. So like you can Essence Font, Weapons of Order, Essence Font again, get the burst of healing, get a bunch of mastery, and then you can get a third Essence Font, right, before the end of it?
Yeah, so it's at the start and end of every Essence Font channel, there's a very large burst of healing with like a decent radius around you. And the buff lasts for 30 seconds. So if you're slamming Essence Font almost on cooldown, you can get three of them off during that buff period.
Right. So like Weapons Order for Brewmaster is, so you use it, it resets Keg Smash, and enemies hit by Keg Smash take 5% increased damage, stacking up to 5 times. And it's just like, okay, so you use it, you're going to do a little bit more damage. But like Keg Smash is already pressed on cooldown. Unless they massively lowball the damage on it, that's not going to change. So it's just like not all that interesting.
Yeah, and I think even the Windwalker one is like it resets the cooldown of Rising Sun Kick and abilities.
If you're interested in Windwalker, we don't have someone on the podcast today that is talking Windwalker specific stuff, but Babylonius wrote an excellent post going over all of the Shadowlands stuff for Windwalkers over on WoWhead. I would highly recommend checking that out. I know he specifically called out Weapons of Order because it doesn't work with their mastery at all. It like is completely contradictory with the way that Windwalker mastery, which rewards you for alternating abilities, so you never use the same ability twice. It just does not work with that whatsoever. It's kind of unfortunate.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, that's going to be the way the system probably ends up breaking, is that when you have abilities like Weapons of Order or, you know, Bone Dust Brew or whatever it ends up being, right, those main Covenant abilities being just heads and tails above the others, right? And when it's that sort of lopsided, the actual system itself, like the underlying cool stuff the system might be trying to do is kind of tossed out the window by the large majority of the community, because you're like, as a Mistweaver, if you're not running Weapons of Order right now, you're essentially, you know, losing 30. You're losing like 30% of your healing. You know what I mean? So it's it's like stuff like that just is not. I don't know. That's why I preface it, like the biggest issue with this is going to be balance. And if they can nail the balance, I think the system and what they're trying to go for, super cool. But if it's unbalanced and you have, you know, abilities that are, you know, I don't know, at one end of the spectrum being amazing and the other end of the spectrum being terrible, then the coolness of the system kind of falls to the wayside, right?
Right. And we're not going to get a whole lot into Soulbinds today, but we're going to talk more about that later. But there's just a lot of stuff, like a lot of different, like different axes that you gain power from what covenant you choose. And some of them are huge gains and some of them are not so much. And so, a concern that I have, and I know that one that's shared with a lot of members of the community, is that they're setting themselves up to fail by loading so much power into these covenants that even, you know, even if there's only 5% delta between the covenants, that can still be very large relative to the power of your character, just like baseline, and can end up creating feel bads even when they do a relatively good job of balancing the covenants, just because of the sheer amount of power that's tied into them.
Yeah, I mean, I like, ultimately, yeah, when it's, this is like the issue with the Azerite system, I think, compounded a little bit, right? Where our Azerite armor system, where like you put, they're putting all their eggs in this basket, right? And if this system doesn't pan out the way they want it, the expansion itself, like everything falls apart below it, right? So the minute your main covenant abilities are not even, then, you know, the soul binds don't matter, right? The soul binds end up not mattering because you're only looking at one covenant then, and the delta for what you need to balance, like what the community cares about from a balance perspective, is much smaller. But yeah, you're right. Like as you get into soul binds, then there might be like one soul bind for Venthyr, which actually this might be what they're going for, right? Where you have soul binds in like certain covenants that are not as powerful at the top level, right? Be very powerful at the individual character level. And so then you have to weigh, do I go for just the soul bind way to get some raw power in my character, or do I look at, you know, these abilities that might, you know, boost it or burst it in the case of like Weapons of Order for Mistweaver in like certain individual aspects, right? Or smaller sections. So I don't know. I think, I mean, they're setting themselves up, I don't know, for failure, but they're setting themselves up for like a very difficult task, I think, around balancing, you know, something that's what, three levels deep, right? Because you have covenant abilities, soul binds themselves, and then the actual conduits that get that slotted into soul binds. So
yeah, and I think the concern is justified. I know Ian tried to push back some of that some when he did his interview with Preach, but he was not very convincing. And after getting burned so badly on Azerite, I think the concern from the community that they're not going to be able to balance such a complex system in a way that is realistic before it burns a bunch of people is very justified.
Yeah, no, for sure.
They just need to not sit on their hands at all. They have to be go, go, go on this balancing, even when the expansion drops and in between tiers. They just have to be watching out for anything that just is starting to take off.
Yeah, I think if there's one thing I hope that Blizzard does is that they introduce hotfixes, or at least class like balance changes much quicker in Shadowlands. I think the 6 month wait for changes is, if they do that, I don't know. Like at that point, it just, I don't know if I care enough to like, I'll just reroll. Like if that's going to be sort of the cadence, right? I'll just wait to see whatever the good covenant is and pick that one, even if it means I have to reroll or, you know, change. Just go that way, because I think if they do that, they're going to lose a lot of people, just in terms of like, folks have either made the wrong choice, right, or folks who want this to be the right choice but are getting dropped from groups or not involved in community things, you know, because they made the wrong choice.
Yeah, absolutely. It's do you remember the promise that, what was it, Enhancement Shaman was getting a rework in patch 8.1?
Yes.
Yeah, that never materialized. And so they, I don't know, even with their, you know, proposed cadence of every major patch, there's balance changes, there's still a lot lacking. Balance in BFA has been kind of a mess, and they have been very slow to react to it. But today's show is not about BFA. It's about Shadowlands. So let's talk a little bit about some of the other changes that have come to the monk class specifically in Shadowlands. So they brought back Holinka the Great Unpruner, as they introduced him at BlizzCon. We get some of the old monk buttons back. What did Mistweaver get?
We got Touch of Death and Expel Harm, and you can say Yulong in a way. It's an old ability, but it's really just GG.
Yeah, so for Mistweaver, they reworked Chi-Gi to be Yulon, and then they basically baked in Way of the Crane into our talents now, with Chi-Gi taking the place of Way, and then current Chi-Gi turning into Yulon, just from like a celestial flip-flop, but it's essentially the same ability. So so yeah, we got Touch of Death, Expel Harm, and then we did get Healing Orbs. Healing Orbs are still on the not yet implemented list, but Healing Orbs are making another comeback for Mistweaver.
Yeah, so for both Brewmaster and Windwalker, we get our Celestials baseline. For Brewmaster, that's Invoke Niuzhao, aka Angry Dave. And then for Windwalker, they get Zuan baseline. And then Touch of Death got changed. We'll talk more about the changes on a later episode, probably once they've actually finalized everything. But right now, it's like you can use it in execute range or below that, somewhere below that, basically. And it's got some extra spec-specific effect tied to it. And then Brewmasters and Windwalkers can once again choose whether to dual wield or use a two-handed weapon, which is fantastic. I know there's a bunch of people that, you know, they want to use a staff as a Windwalker, or they want to use fist weapons as a Brewmaster, and they haven't been able to since the end of WOD. So it's been a really popular change to make, even though in practice it's probably going to be a complete wash. You can use what you want. Right now, though, I will mention on beta, it is not implemented for Brewmaster yet. Keg Smash still requires a two-handed weapon. That should hopefully get fixed soon, fingers crossed. Brewmaster, though, like Windwalker, I think the changes overall were relatively minor. Still plays very much the same. Brewmaster got a lot of things shuffled around. So let's start with shuffle then. Iron Skin Brew got changed from being this active mitigation maintenance buff that you got to press every like 8 seconds so you don't die, to being just baked into your rotation. If you're hitting something, you will have shuffle, which is just Iron Skin Brew with a different name. Purifying Brew is now your like main, like up all the time. You press it when you can, active mitigation button. And then we get the return of Guard as Celestial Brew. It is reduced by the other things that we have that say reduces the cooldowns of your brews, and it just gives you a giant shield that absorbs everything. And honestly, like right now, the shield size is insane. I saw a bunch of them from the raid testing where they had a monk's health at that point is like 60,000 HP, if I remember correctly. And they were like expiring with 40,000 HP left on the shield. They're big boys. These are some big boys. And that's probably not staying the way it is. Hopefully, one of the other things that's changed that we don't know if it's intentional yet or not is that Brewmasters no longer stagger magic damage. And when coupled with the fact that Brewmasters have the lowest actual HP of any tank, has caused some real concern, because there's a boss in Castle Nathria, for example, that applies a bleed as kind of the tank mechanic, and Brewmaster just can't do anything to that outside of Celestial Brew, which, like, your Celestial Brew is not going to like run out of shield, but it will run out of duration, because the duration is capped at 8 seconds, so you can't just keep it up all the time. So there's some concern over that. There is currently a rank 2 of stagger in the data files that adds magic stagger, but it's not actually in the game right now. So we don't know if that's like going to be implemented later when they fix Keg Smash requiring two-handed weapons, or if it's intentionally been removed, in which case we might have some problems.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I think I was just kind of trying to put on. That's interesting that so the Celestial Brew stuff. I mean, is that, do you think that's just a tuning issue, or is that the way the ability?
That's a tuning issue, 100%. They basically, so there's two pieces to it. Like on the one hand, like at the base level, I think the Celestial Brew size is fine. It is that you can buff the size of your next Celestial Brew by basically spamming Purifying Brew. So you just like spam, drink your ass off with Purifying Brew, and then that makes your Celestial Brew bigger. And those two things, like if the shield is fine without any purifying at all, and then you double its size with Purifying Brew, suddenly the size starts to get a little bit ridiculous.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think looking at like both Mistweaver and even the Windwalker changes, we didn't get anything near Nier's at least like rotationally different, right? Misweaver still largely plays very similar to live, right, on beta. And just I haven't played much Windwalker, right? But Windwalker wise, it seems to play very similar, right? Which is getting you know, their Celestial now baseline, just another cooldown, right? I think the only other thing they got was like the whole blackout kick thing is back, where like if you blackout kick an enemy from behind, they take 20% of the damage as like a dot. Or if you blackout kick them from the front, you get a heal or something like that. I think that was a MOP ability. So yeah, some kind of minor stuff for Windwalker there. But
I mean, from playing Windwalker on live at a, you know, amateur terrible level and doing it the same in Shadowlands, it felt almost the exact same. The only difference is that one tiger now you get baseline, which if you have it talented, it is literally the exact same feeling.
Bugs notwithstanding, which Windwalker has had a lot of bugs this expansion, Windwalker is one of the, I think, the better designed DPS specs. Tuning has some issues and there's a bunch of tweaks that could be made to improve that, but it plays well. I like playing it.
Oh yeah. Never said it was, you know, bad to play, just I'm bad at it.
Yeah. Well, it is currently also bad. But hopefully that won't be in the case in Shadowlands.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I know we talked to, I think also in here's just like kind of how the specs kind of feel, right? I know you haven't had a chance to play Brew Emelson, but I know that, like, I think I just said, like, Mistweaver with what it has gotten really doesn't seem to change much from a playstyle perspective. At least in the, like, the five mans I did, it played very similarly with kind of the talents that were there. You had a couple more cooldown-y abilities to press, right? But I think in general, you know, the playstyle is very similar. So I don't really feel, I know I kind of put this in the notes, like, how do the specs feel, right? And I think currently, like, Mistweaver feels very similar. I don't know, Abbe, if you'd have a different opinion, but
overall, it felt I hit Essence Font on damage and raid, and then in dungeons with legendaries you can have a little bit more play, but it didn't feel too much different because the only legendary that I was toying around with that's not, you know, bugged to the point where there's no point in playing with it was the extended life legendary. I think it's called like Uplifting Mists, and the only difference was I felt okay just hitting Enveloping Mist and then Renewing Mist on the tank to keep them alive during a trash pack because it was doing, you know, like 5% of the tank's HP every tick.
That's pretty good.
But outside of that, it's the exact same, it feels.
Brewmaster, I think this has been a set of changes that's been a long time coming. As we've had basically the same Brewmaster since patch 7.0. So it's been two expansions almost identical the whole way through. And over time, as we've come to understand it better, and especially later this expansion, as we started getting more and more brew generation through things like Straight No Chaser, a bunch of sources of free haste and proc haste, it's gotten a little bit silly to the point that, like, I have to purify on Light Stagger in order to just not cap my brews. We have far too many of them. The spec is just broken in a bunch of different ways from a defensive perspective. And so this set of changes has been a long time coming. From a like DPS perspective, it's going to play basically identically. The most impactful change is that Blackout Strike is now Blackout Kick with a 4-second cooldown up from a 3-second cooldown, which changes the rotation a little bit. But Invoke Niu Zhao is just like you press it, it does damage. If you're taking damage, then it does more damage, but that's about it. And then defensively, we're going to have to see. I haven't gotten to play with it yet. I know I wrote a fairly extensive post tearing into the system a little bit and going like, okay, so with the numbers right now, you kind of just spam Purifying Brew. You just press it every like 3 or 4 seconds. And then they've done a little bit of tuning since, I believe. And hopefully they do more because it's still kind of close to that. And I want to see where it ends up. But right now, that's kind of in a wait-and-see territory.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I think with Mistweaver, in general, I don't think we're gonna touch on all of it today, but there's a ton of bugs that just there are some things that are occurring. Like I think Bone Dust Brew still procs our mastery rite on all targets that get hit by it.
No. Whoever has Bone Dust Brew basically has a renewing miss. So if you cast Vivify, it will cleave onto everyone who has Bone Dust Brew, even if they don't have renewing mist. So like in raid, if you're fully stacked, you can throw that and then basically have 20 man renewing mists for that 10-second duration,
Isn't
which
that
is super strong.
that was what the haystacking Mistweavers were doing this tier, right? That was so
No, 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 no. The haystacking Mistweavers were putting 20 renewing mists out, 20 enveloping mists out, and hitting Essence Font once and never hitting another healing button for the rest of the fight. And this was putting all of those HOTs out, or at least the 20 enveloping mists, which was doing 80% of their healing, and they were doing 1.1 million raw healing, which is still three times more than any healer is doing right now. And we're talking about, 6 months
Later.
ago. Yeah. They were just hitting Rising Sun Kick, Blackout Kick, Tiger Palm after that. And they got all those HOTs out within 30 seconds of the fight. So if someone could die within 30 seconds, that was the only time for them to die. Then the rest of the fight was, hey, I'm a Mistweaver doing more healing than anyone else.
Yeah, not actually hitting healing buttons.
Yeah. So like that 1.1 could have been a lot higher if they could weave in Vivifies and whatnot.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but I think like still like with Mistweaver, right? There's like healing orbs aren't in the game yet, which I'm not. Healing orbs have not been good ever in the history of the game, so I don't know what makes them think healing orbs will be good now. But we get healing orbs back. I mean, I will say like one thing about the ability I'm pruning is with monks being such a new class, right? It seems like this is almost like Shadowlands like MOP edition, right? Or MOP like Shadowlands edition, however you want to kind of word it, because essentially, we get a lot of stuff back, like at least in the Mistweaver case, like from that expansion, right? There's the upcoming potential eminence, like legendary. There's extend life, which is considered probably the best set bonus Mistweaver has ever had, coming in the form of legendaries, right? There's healing orbs coming back on some of our abilities, which was an MOP thing. So I mean, it's at
We have Touch of
least for
Death.
us. Yeah, Touch of Death is back. So I mean, it's like for me, it's like, man, I get to relive, MOP again, only this time I don't have multi-strike, I don't have a three-charge rem, I don't have pool of mists, I don't have uplift, I don't have chi.
It's not like playing.
Just yeah, so it's terrible actually. Sorry. I was coming around on it. It kind of took me a while, but yeah, it's not. I personally I'm not that excited, but I mean, I won't get into it here, but a lot of my issues with the class stem from like Essence Font being a thing and chi not being a thing, right?
And
But
I think that's one thing that hurts, like the ability for them to pull back legendaries and whatnot and set bonuses from pre-Legion for us is the class is completely different than it was then.
yeah, I know that's hurt the case for Brewmaster as well, because we don't have the same buttons. Like there's no like there's a set bonus that relates to guard, and we don't have guard. They reintroduced Celestial Brew, but it works differently. It has a bunch of cooldown reduction already tied into it, so giving it the same set bonus doesn't make sense unless you want Brewmasters to be the brokenest spec in the game again. So
Yeah.
it's the greatest hits from Legion.
Which luckily did not sell out. There were still some copies on the shelf. When I say some, almost all of them were.
I mean, ultimately, like with Mistweaver, I think it still plays better. Like, I still feel like I might have been a little bit jaded coming out of that, but I think it still feels like it ends up playing better in Shadowlands at the end of the day with Covenants, with some of the other stuff coming in, right, than it did in BFA and definitely since Legion, right, when we got the big rework. So,
Right.
like, I'm happy, still excited to play it, but, we'll see if we get. I think what I'm waiting for is a lot of these bug fixes to go in, a lot of the final stuff to be implemented, so you can kind of see what their ideas are for the class, like going into the expansion. So I think that's the one thing that's a little scary, I'll say. I'm kind of getting some Azurite armor type vibes of like, hey, it's a month before this release and we're going to drop this on you and you get 4 weeks to kind of tell if it's good or not. And if it's not good, then you got to wait 6 months after release to see changes. You know, that's the one scary part. But I mean, well, I don't know. I'm a kind of glass half full type of person. So, I mean, I think that we'll get something soon and hopefully it's at least something, right? I don't know. A lot of people want it to be good or bad, but I think that's sort of subjective. I think as long as we get some sort of like, hey, we know about this, we're fixing it, or hey, this is the way this is supposed to work in the context of like Bone Dust Brew, you know, it kind of helps us out a little bit because that's all we're kind of looking for is just some sort of confirmation or an idea that they're still looking and working. So and
just a contact.
That's a lot of what we were looking for on the Brewmaster end as well, going into BFA and throughout BFA is just communication. Because we had a bunch of things and we did have quick action on several things that we brought to their attention. We found several kind of game breaking bugs that were powering up Brewmaster that we reported to them and they got fixed pretty quickly. One of which I think would have been like the defining bug of the Battle for Dazar'alor if it hadn't been fixed in Uldir. But they fixed those like instantly. We reported them and they were in like a hotfix the next week. But then there's these other issues that linger on and on and on and on that still aren't addressed. And that's concerning.
Yeah. I think the theme of Shadowlands ends up probably being like a theme of like Blizzard's gotta prove themselves with this one. Like I think they've sort of run out a runway of like, hey, we're the company that made War 3, you know, built RTSs, you know what I mean? Drop the greatest MMO ever in the history, right? Like, I don't know. Personally, for me, they're kind of at the end of their rope with that. Just because I think it's, I don't know, they've cashed in their sort of, hey, we did all this cool stuff 15 years ago.
they have absolutely, they've spent their cred now. They had WoD, which had a bunch of good things going on, but also had a bunch of nothing happening. They had Legion, which had a bunch of systems problems, but overall, I think was a pretty good expansion after the first tier. And then they had BFA, which was I have people in my raid group that, you know, insist that BFA is a good expansion because the raids were good. And I cannot fathom how they
I talked to a few people in your raid about this, and like I asked them, how did you like BFA overall? And the majority of it was, well, the start, the middle, and then when we got to the end, it felt like a lot of the issues were fixed. But like, if I wasn't so dedicated to this game, I would have already been gone and never come back.
Yeah, and Blizzard is in a situation right now where for the first time in basically ever, they have real serious competition that could legitimately take the title from them. And apologize for my F-bombs. They gotta deal with Final Fantasy 14.
Whoa, this is PG-13, I thought.
They got to deal with Final Fantasy 14, which from a casual perspective, like it doesn't have an AP grind. It doesn't have all these systems on top of systems on top of systems. There's a lot of things it doesn't have. Like there's no Mythic Plus. The raids are not Mythic difficulty. There's, you know, just a lot of things that they're going to be lacking from a high-end PvE perspective. But that's not most of the community, and Blizzard has got to, I don't know. I'm concerned that this focus on new systems in Shadowlands reflects a lack of understanding of why that's been growing in popularity.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. Again, glass half full. I think what the one thing Blizzard is good at is correcting. So like, I think the one thing that good, like people hate and maybe don't like, and one thing that I think they end up doing good is they like to try new things, right? Maybe they try new things too often. They should kind of not try new things sometimes.
I don't know that they should try new things less often as much as try new things in smaller ways than, you know, building entire expansions around this cool new idea. And then like when Azurite crashed and burned, they didn't have a backup plan and BFA kind of dragged on.
Yeah, that's where I was going with it, is I think, if they can not make it a core system, because like the Azurite system, right? I know we're gonna maybe take a quick aside, but like everything around like islands and, you know, war fronts and everything that kind of didn't get play or got sort of a bad rap was based on the fact that you had to grind AP for a bad Azerite system, right? Like if the Azerite system was good, Islands might have been, you know, passable or at least fun, or, you know, would have had some more engagement.
I mean, I think Islands were honestly indefensible in that they were the main source of AP. Like you, once you did your emissaries, the most efficient thing to do for AP was to go and do Islands, not to go and do the content that you wanted to do. You know, doing Battlegrounds was awful. Doing Arenas was awful. Doing Mythic Plus was awful. Doing Raids was awful. They increased the AP you got from boss kills twice over the course of the expansion. You currently get like, what, 800 from a boss kill? You got like 100 when the expansion launched. There was the design of Islands just blows my mind. I actually, if I hadn't been forced to grind them, and I didn't even do it as much as some people, I basically just did my weekly, but if I hadn't been forced to do, you know, 2 to 4 Islands every week, then maybe I would have had a better time doing them.
Yeah. I mean, if they were true, yeah, I don't, I mean, we don't have to go too much into BFA, but I think, yeah, the large, my main point is that I think the issues that I have with this is that they build too much around a large single system and aren't very quick to move on that system. It's kind of eggs all in one basket. Hopefully it works out. I think Covenants end up being that sort of analogous thing to the Azerite, you know, system of BFA. And if they don't nail it, or they're not quick to change it, I think we're gonna run into like similar issues, right?
Yeah, with just, I agree,
with Shadowlands. So
it just sounds like people, we've been trying to voice our opinion and they just haven't been responding, or just saying no, it's gonna be okay.
And like, in some amount of fairness to them, we have already had Covenants and Soulbinds and Conduits and Legendaries on the beta and alpha for like 3 times as long as we had Azerite on the BFA beta. All of the stuff that we got done for Azerite for like our end, the theory crafting end, got done in like 3 weeks at the very end of beta. And things were still like rapidly changing during that time. I know I redid a bunch of my analysis multiple times as we got new large changes to Azerite traits and how things work. And we've already, like, we're already past that point with the Shadowlands systems. So I do have some hope that because of that, and we do still have, hopefully, you know, a few months left on beta, 2 to 3 months left on beta, they can fix some of these issues that we're bringing up and actually have a really solid system going into Shadowlands.
Definitely, yeah. And that's the biggest thing, is we've got to see things earlier, right? Like, we got to see timers and Torghast and people freaked out.
Yeah.
But they also they really pulled it out. They're like, oh, yeah, it's a bad idea. But it's like we got to kind of see a little bit behind the curtain, I think, in what they end up trying, which, you know, yeah, is actually, I think, potentially a good thing here. So,
all right, I think let's go ahead and wrap it up there for today. We will be back next week. We had some ideas for what we're going to talk about next week. After today's episode, do you have any, like, thoughts on what exactly we should talk next week, Anam?
So I have one quick thing before we go into next week.
Oh, okay.
So I did say, I think we mentioned this earlier, we kind of wanted to do like a Q&A or like highlight important forum post type like item, right? So like the way the forum, like the way the structure ends up working, right, is we'll do our cute little intros at the start, we'll go through our topics, and then right before we end, like I'd like to do a little bit of like a Q&A, pull some questions from stuff we get over the week, you know, answer them, or at least talk about them, right, for, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, and then gonna go from there. So I think for next week, if anyone actually listens this far into it, if you have a question, you can just, you know, reach out to me on Discord, and I'll sort of compile something. I think in the future maybe we'll have some automated or better way to collect these things, but that'll be for kind of a Q&A section. I think it'd be cool. I think the only other thing we'd highlight here is maybe, you know, either at this point, like key forum posts or like interesting content, right? Like I know that looking back at some of the stuff, it'd be cool if we would have been able to highlight like the Mistweaver, Corey Main from the Mistweaver community did like a really good Mythic Plus spreadsheet. So that would have been something I'd like to highlight here. Or in this case, you know, there's a huge, you know, feedback thread on Monks. And I know that Abbe, at least for Mistweaver, put together a really good list of all the open bugs on beta currently. So we can always link that stuff. So yeah, I think, here, do a bunch of Q&A, like, or just like interesting things in the community that they're doing would be cool to spotlight here at the end, right before we break. So yeah, so you guys have questions, reach out to me on Discord. It's
Anomaly. Or me.
Or
Emelson. Anomaly or Emelson on Discord. You can either add us or you can DM us, you know, whatever floats your boat. And we'll get to them on the podcast.
Yeah. And then, so I think for next week, I think the next couple of weeks, what I am thinking is that we do a little bit of deep dives into some of the systems we sort of talked about earlier today on this episode. So dive into a little bit more detail across the, you know, covenants, you know, get into soul binds and conduits, I think for an episode would be really interesting. Get into a little bit of legendaries, right? And as we get closer and through August, hopefully a lot of the bugs get fixed, but I think it'd be really interesting to do like a bug episode at some point. Just to sort of highlight like what we see and like the cool things, and maybe we can do a retrospective with some of the folks, you know, across the Windwalkers and, you know, Brewmasters and Mistweavers, right? Of like, you know, here's some interesting bugs we've seen in beta and you know, either the way we found it or if it's getting fixed or not. So, but I think for next week, I think maybe we go into a little bit on the Covenant side, because that's the big system, kind of break down what the four Covenants are, what their main abilities are, what their sub abilities are, and then go from there. See how we feel in each class, right? And kind of take it that way if that works for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think covenants are a good place to start. There's a lot of stuff that we skimmed over with covenant abilities, soul binds, conduits. There's a lot there that I think is worth exploring. So that's going to be the plan for next week. Make sure and tune in. And if you like what we do here at Peak of Serenity, either on the podcast or with our guides or Discord resources, whatever it may be, you can support us in a couple different ways. You can share our content in social media, help bring other people into the fold, as it were. Or you can support us over on Patreon. Actually, I've forgotten the link. It's been so long. Let me look that up. I believe it is patreon.com/peakofserenity. And those of you that do that, it is much appreciated. So thank you all for listening. This has been your... Yeah, thank you, Anom, for pacing it in right there. Thank you all for listening. This has been a fun episode. Looking forward to doing some more over the next few weeks. But until then, see ya.
See ya.